Good morning, this is Brian Trumbore with your Week in Review for Saturday, December 5th. There's a reason why I haven't issued any forecast for 2010 as yet. I have the luxury of waiting until the last possible minute to do so, and days like Friday make things even more difficult for me. Never have I been more confused on the future. For starters, I know that at any moment geopolitics can and will shock the system. It's one thing to have a national dialogue on the war in Afghanistan. It would be quite another for Israel to launch a strike on Iran's Natanz uranium enrichment plant, which is more inevitable by the day. So while Friday's jobs report for November, showing a loss of just 11,000 when a decline in the neighborhood of 120,000 was forecast, was great news, as was a tick down in the official unemployment rate to 10% from 10.2%, especially when coupled with downward revisions on losses for September and October. And while figures on manufacturing, factory, and construction orders were also better than expected, with a low and important negative being the November reading on service sector activity, there are all kinds of reasons why it's not quite time to whip out your freshest Corbell. It's still being a domestic over premium economy. Like in the case of retail sales this holiday shopping season, as in for the most part they're less than healthy, like downright putrid, unless you work on Wall Street, have had a Tiger Woods moment, and to prevent your significant other from taking a 3-iron to your head or prized car, rush to Tiffany's for that Kobe rock before she starts dialing all the numbers on your cell phone. This is not going to be a good Christmas season for retailers, period. For example, for the month of November, we've learned that sales at our leading box stores were down, not up. And forget what you heard about Black Friday or Cyber Monday. Any figures emerging from those 2 days are irrelevant when looking at the entire season as a whole. On the commercial real estate front, the default rate is at a 16-year high. Bad news for banks, with CRE values down 37% over the past year, according to one survey I saw. But remember, this has had zero impact on the stock market, as I've correctly predicted the second half of this year. But because the banks have ongoing losses to deal with, it impedes lending, especially to small business, and thus inhibits the strength of any recovery, which in 2010 could indeed limit any further upside in stocks, but that's a prediction for later. Say what you will about Donald Trump, but I love the guy's blunt talk, and when he was on CNBC this week and was asked whether the banks are lending, the Donald said they aren't making any loans, except to the largest corporations. And to hear otherwise, such as from J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon, this bit is me, not Trump, is a bunch of bull. In other good news, the Fed's monthly look at economic activity through its 12 regions showed 8 of them reporting improved conditions, while the other 4 were mixed. This is decidedly better than, say, 6 months ago. And it would appear the situation with Dubai World, while far from stabilized, is not going to cause too much pain, except for homeowners or home buyers on those palm fronds and various banks that don't recognize real estate bubbles that others do. But I just don't see a strong economy for the coming year, nor do I see a resounding recovery in the labor market, let alone wages, nor do I see a rousing recovery in residential housing, though I maintain I will have been right that we bottomed in terms of median home prices last April, May. I told you a year ago that when we hit the bottom, we'd just sit there, and that's exactly what's happening. So why don't I then come out and give a forecast for 2010? Because I'm still questioning myself, as you can see. For now, here's part of the problem. My office is in Summit, New Jersey, a popular spot to live for many of Wall Street's elite, and thus one of the wealthier communities in America. There are many individuals here, including some of my friends, who are doing just as well as they were before the crash. But there is the other side, and as I've told you, the town's small business owners are getting killed. At least 25 of them gone. I grew up in this town, and to state the obvious, never has there been such a divide between rich and poor, or, to put it more accurately, between rich and middle class. It's what makes it more difficult to sift through what's fact and fiction, what's truly improving and what's getting worse. Bottom line, for most around here, there is little to be merry about this Christmas season, save for one fact: my high school alma mater, Summit, won a state football championship this week. Very cool, and a nice little shot in the arm, the kind that only sports can provide. Whipping around the world, various indices on manufacturing in China came in at their strongest since April 2004, while in Japan, the central bank took aggressive measures to encourage more bank lending, which was well received as the Tokyo Nikkei index climbed back over the 10,000 level. But on Friday, the Japanese government announced it was scrapping next year's long-planned sale of shares in Japan Post Holdings Company, a $3.4 trillion in assets combination of mail delivery, banking, and insurance services. The problem is Japan Post was long thought to be a stifling bureaucracy, and its privatization was going to be a boon for free markets and an opening of Japan's financial sector. What is depressing about the move by the new Hatoyama government is it sees the country's 24,500 post offices as vehicles for social policy, said the Postal Services Minister. We could use them as bases for elderly care or places to pay out pensions. But as the Wall Street Journal points out, the reversal means private financial institutions could be squeezed out by market-distorting competition from a government-backed rival. More next week as warranted. India's GDP in the third quarter rose 7.9%, better than expected, as manufacturing climbed 9.2% over the same period. Inflation is an issue here, though, as food prices have been soaring. Speaking of inflation, in Australia, the central bank is so optimistic on future growth that it raised interest rates a third consecutive month in order to beat back any threat of higher prices. In Europe, the 16-nation Eurozone's Purchasing Managers Index hit a two-year high in November, while retail sales were up in Germany as unemployment there fell to 8.1%. The UK's manufacturing index, however, while above the 50 dividing line between growth and contraction, was disappointing. And in Canada, third quarter GDP rose just 0.4%, which, while breaking the recession there, was on the light side versus expectations. The central bank issued a tepid forecast for 2010. A UN report taking a look at the global economy as a whole next year sees growth of 2.4%, or a very fragile recovery, with China up 8.8% and India up 6.5% leading the way. Debate in the Senate, or turning to another topic, debate in the Senate on health care got off to a rip-roaring start as Republican Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma said that if the Senate proposal is passed as is, quote, "I have a message for you, you're going to die sooner." Well, we already know we're going to die on December 21st, 2012, or so says the Mayan calendar, so it's time to pack this debate in, don't you think? Then again, most folks don't believe the Mayans, and as noted in a Thomson Reuters survey, 60% want a public option as part of any reform plan, with 86% of Democrats favoring it and 33% of Republicans. As for the timing of a vote on any final legislation in the Senate, it's still touch and go whether or not Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid can ram it through before year-end. One move that had me scratching my head was Senator John McCain's attempt to prevent any cuts in Medicare spending. Yeah, I know, it's the politically expedient thing for McCain and others to do, Medicare being a sacred cow among seniors. But for crying out loud, there has to be something we can cut out of it. Reducing Medicare at some level is a must. Ergo, McCain and the 41 others who voted for the defeated amendment are hypocrites like everyone else. Lastly, Iran. Even Art Kashin, the UBS veteran who reports from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange and is as respected as they come, began this week to talk of an Israeli strike on Iran, which means it's finally bubbling to the surface. The problem is President Obama has said he would give Iran until year-end to come around to his way of thinking, i.e. give up their enriched uranium, let alone halt construction of new plants as well as further enrichment per various UN Security Council resolutions, before pressuring the other members of the P5 plus one to initiate additional sanctions, which means we could be facing the same situation we are today, further intransigence on the part of Iran in March, April, and May. Israel cannot afford to wait that long, especially in light of Iran's belligerent remarks of the past week, where it threatened to enrich its existing uranium to a higher level, thus taking another major step towards mass-producing weapons-grade material, while at the same time announcing plans for 10 more uranium plants, which was just amended to 20 more. Talks with the P5 plus one have totally broken down, and President Ahmadinejad said of his nation's nuclear program, quote, "The Zionist regime, Israel, and its Western backers cannot do a damn thing to stop Iran's nuclear work," close quote. Editorial, Wall Street Journal. Time is running out for Iran to address the international community's growing concerns about its nuclear program, White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said yesterday, but the West has said this many times before. Earlier this year, Mr. Obama said Iran had a deadline of September. Journal continues, the regime scoffed at Mr. Obama after he delivered a conciliating message for the Persian New Year in March, scoffed again after he mildly criticized its post-election crackdown and killing spree in June, following days of silence, and scoffed a third time by rejecting the West's offer last month to enrich Iran's uranium fort. Yet the administration insists the enrichment deal is still Iran's for the taking. A few years ago, the West said we had to completely stop all our nuclear activities, Ahmadinejad said last month. Now look where we are today. Those are the words of a man who believes he has Mr. Obama's number. And until the president, his advisors, and the Europeans realize that only punitive sanctions or military strikes will force it to reconsider its nuclear ambitions, an emboldened Islamic Republic will continue to march confidently toward a bomb over the wreckage of Mohammed el-Baradei's and Barack Obama's best intentions. That's the Journal. The Journal doesn't add that Israel understands this and Israel will act. I've also been saying for months now that rather than worrying about 120 or 130 different suspected weapons sites, as many reports put it, there is only one that matters, Natanz. The Financial Times on Monday ran an editorial wherein it said, quote, Iran appears to have one uranium enrichment plant at Natanz working well below its potential capacity after 8 years, close quote. Israel's leaders can't rely on intelligence to pinpoint the capacity and a timetable for Iran's nuclear progression. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu specifically knows time is rapidly running out. I cannot envision Israel waiting for Russia and China to come around on the sanctions front and join the U.S., Britain, France, and Germany if they do at all. And as the Washington Post reported on Thursday, more and more evidence is unveiled each week that Iran is ramping up efforts to arm itself, as well as Hamas and Hezbollah. Five ships have been caught this year carrying large secret weapons caches intended for those wishing to destroy Israel and Western interest. Meanwhile, in Iran itself, the crackdown on dissent is being carried out, and our president does nothing to support the reformers. Obama's performance in this regard has been disgraceful. Turning to Wall Street, stocks resumed their rally on the mostly solid economic news as the Dow Jones tacked on 0.8% to 10,388. The S&P added 1.3% and NASDAQ gained 2.6%. The action on Friday, though, was dominated by a big rally in the dollar on the November jobs figure as traders bet the Fed would be forced to raise interest rates much sooner than they've been intimating. Gold and other commodities tied to the short dollar trade plummeted in response, with the precious metal falling to 1162 from a Thursday intraday record of 1226. Yields rose at week's end on the employment report, while Ben Bernanke's confirmation hearing in the Senate was largely a non-event, and he'll win his second term. But the bigger issue is the future oversight role of the Fed as the existing regulatory regime is overhauled, including just who controls monetary policy and the Fed's independence in that regard, with talk of congressional audits of the Fed's books. Some of the proposals are downright dangerous. Some in Congress also just don't like Bernanke. I'm ambivalent, having documented in this space as many policy errors and grossly inaccurate forecasts before he got his act together and saved the system. I will not be doing a podcast next Saturday, running a half marathon down in Kiowa, South Carolina. If you're in the area, join me in my two-hour pace quest. And I'll be back with you Saturday, December 19th. Take care.